Lord, we just thank you for being our God. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us and taking care of our enemies. We praise you, Father, for your knowledge that you've given us. We thank you, Father, for the walk that you've got us on, this holiness, perfectionist walk. A lot of people in the religious world, as you know, Lord, don't believe in that. But we do because we have faith. You've given us faith to believe that we can walk that holy walk. And it's strictly by faith that we do it. We're sanctified by faith. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, for all these wonderful people that's on here tonight. We praise you for the work that you're doing in us and through us. And Father, we ask and we pray that you anoint us to do whatever it is you want us to do, every one of us, to speak the things that you'd have us to speak. And Lord, we thank you for that. Father, be with us, lead us, guide us. Show us what you want us to pray for also. And in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Okay. Well, we're supposed to have a new guest tonight, but I don't see him on here yet. Got a guy coming in from Huntington, Indiana, supposed to be. If he's not having any trouble. Judy, is that what you're doing? You checking on him? Okay. Can y'all hear me okay? I got my professional microphone right here. It ought to be doing real good. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Hey, Barry Miller. Good to see y'all again. All right. Any prayer requests tonight? Well, Lord, we see over in Italy that they're finding out that this coronavirus is suspended in the air. And they're coming to the conclusion that they're being sprayed by the air. And Lord, we ask that there be an outcry all over this world for that stuff. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you for exposing the evil that the deep state is trying to do to everyone in the world. And we ask and we pray, Father, that you do that. Bring them down. Expose them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Joe.
I don't know if anyone else heard about this. Yesterday, well, I mean, maybe someone else who's a little more knowledgeable lately can confirm it. I guess there was another body of a woman, a senator from Arkansas, found the other day investigating. What were they investigating about the Clintons? I don't know if anybody heard. I just saw something briefly about it.
I hadn't heard. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, doesn't surprise me. So I just want to pray for all those whistleblowers and folks out there who were kind of investigating things, especially the Clintons. So, you know, they're still kind of, you know, I guess I wouldn't say they're still in power, but I mean, you know, if bodies are winding up everywhere, then they still got some bit of a power. So Lord, we just lift up all those people who are still kind of, who are instrumental in draining the swamp. You know, I guess this woman I saw was, I forget exactly what she was investigating, but she was in office, you know, in Arkansas there. And, they said they found her, you know, they found her dead. And so Lord, it's, you know, and anybody else that, we pray for those who are investigating anybody. Doesn't matter if it's just the Clintons. It could be the Bushes or the Obamas, anybody. You know, those in the deep state, keep them safe. Supernaturally protect them. Put angels around them to just continue to bring the truth out. Continue to shine the light on the darkness in this world and the darkness that the deep state hides in. So we thank you, Lord, for just draining the swamp again. Thank you that you're fully going to drain it. And thank you for protecting these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let me let Dave in. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I just wanted to pray in agreement with your prayer as well, Michael and Joe, on that. Just Father, I just ask you to direct us to pray in specific to the places of darkness where light needs to be revealed, and where the hiding place needs to be revealed, and that authority of that darkness in that place be taken down. Pray specifically, Lord, that for those in my family, I just started out as a prayer for the overall darkness, but Lord, as you know, I've been communicating with my sister, and there's just a vast depth of darkness, and it just seems like everything that is said, bringing up your word in various at various times, there's just a monumental deception that just grabs and takes a complete narrative of the thought and shifts it to something of confusion or whatever, something of darkness. And it just, Lord, it just brings back to my mind the understanding that we are born and were born and we were redeemed and translated out of this kingdom of darkness that covers this earth, and that you have placed us in this earth as lights shining in dark places. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that where we can see these places and these things that you bring to our mind and to our understanding or into our awareness, we can see, and we also have the authority to pray and specifically in regards to that thing. So, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the strength of light, the strength of your word, the strength of truth. Just pray for, I pray for President Trump tonight, Lord, that it seems as though he is, I don't know, if, getting tired through the process, this relentless attack that is just constantly on him. Just pray for strength in his life, Lord. Just strengthen him. I thank you for the strength that you provide for him. Thank you for the determination, the face like a flint towards the goal that you have created him for and brought him into this existence for. And thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that your strength is encouraging him, Lord. Just strengthen the counselors around him, strengthen those and give them wisdom to interject thoughts that need to be considered. And Lord, just thank you for your protective barrier of the angels around him, protecting him, guiding him, and nudging him to do certain things, to say certain things that need to be said. Thank you for that, Lord. Just pray for us in the meeting tonight, in the group, just to open up our eyes, Lord, and give us wisdom and awareness and insight in what you would have us pray for in specific. And I thank you for that. Thank you for your presence in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for an open heaven tonight. I thank you, Lord, that when our prayers go up, they go straight to the throne. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. I command every demonic communications demon out of here in the name of Jesus. I command witchcraft to go back where it came from, upon the heads of those who's trying to stop it. this fellowship in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for a complete meeting tonight without any interruptions in communications or anything else as far as that goes. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Father, that when we pray, we know they're going right straight to you, Lord. Because we got faith to believe that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to have it. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anyone else? Is anybody happy? Glory to God, is anybody happy? That's what I'm talking about. Is anybody happy? I'll be so happy, happy, oh, yeah. Happy, happy. Amen, Malcolm. Thank you, Jesus. I'm talking about happy now. I got Jesus right here with me, in me, and I ain't got nothing to worry about because he is sovereign. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. My, 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 my. I wish somebody would get excited about Jesus on this conference call tonight. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? Yes, Missy.
I don't have a prayer request. I just had a question.
You got a question?
Yeah.
Ask me.
Ask you? where did you, because I'd like to read what you said that, what you said about Italy. Where did you find that? About their discovering
that I have sources that I cannot reveal. This is super secret stuff. I don't remember. Let's see. I think it was Eve sent me a link, and all I did was just look at the headlines, and I hadn't read it yet. But
okay.
Basically, like that stuff behind Pat there. You see that stuff behind Pat there? That's what they're doing. They're spraying this coronavirus out in the air in a lot of places. And they're finding it out. The scientists are finding it out. They find particles in the air. You don't have particles in the air because somebody sneezed 4 hours ago, you know. Yeah, Judy.
I read a headline somewhere. I don't know if it was the same thing that Eve sent to you or not, but it said something about they're finding the virus in or on pollutants that are in the air, and that's how they determined that it was in the air.
Okay.
They're finding it in the pollution, like in the pollution that it was on something, and that they were like testing the, I don't know, whatever they were testing in the pollution, they find the virus in that. So I don't know if that's the same article or not, but that was a
I think so. I think so. I think that's what I saw. But anyway, I hope the whole world finds out about that and it has just an outcry against that garbage. And I know David has sent Trump 2 or 3 messages telling him, please stop this chemtrail stuff. We had a guy several years back came into our fellowship to give us information about some things. And we asked him about the chemtrails then, and this was a SEAL. This was an ex-SEAL. And he was high in the patriotic movement. Not that we were, but we were just looking for good information on certain things. I don't even remember what it was. But anyway, he told us, he said, oh, no, that's good for you. You know, they're doing it. So he has swallowed the pill. This guy had, he was a ex-SEAL. I don't remember what all the ramifications, what we had him there for, but anyway, a lot of them have, because they tell them that they're trying to keep the UV rays down and trying to keep from the sun from destroying everything. Well, no, they're spraying aluminum. Aluminum's bad for you. They're spraying boron. I found that out. They're spraying other stuff. I forget what all it was, but it was 3 or 4 different types of chemicals. Now, no telling what, that was several years ago. I'm not telling what you're spraying now, but anyway, it's not good. Lord, we thank you that you're going to get this message to Trump, and he'll just put a stop to it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay. Anybody want to pray about anything? Hey, Judy, did Joe have trouble getting in?
Yes, it's asking for his email, and it's saying to download Zoom and all this stuff, which I don't know why it's doing all that. After he puts his the number in, then he hits join meeting, then they're asking him for his email. Is that normal?
I don't know, but just put his email in there. Go ahead, Judy.
Whatever device he's using, either the phone or
I think it's he said he's going to be using the PC.
Zoom, it's the Zoom app. So he has to download the app, and that's where you sign in to you, with your email, and you create a password, and then you put in the information for this meeting.
Okay, well,
and log in. So he has to download the app on his computer first.
Yeah, he did that, and he got into where he put the numbers in and said to join meeting, and then it asked for his password or his email address, and then it said to download Zoom. Again, I don't know. He didn't know what to do.
He did originally.
Did what, Malcolm?
I was just going to say, Judy, you don't have to sign up and get an account. So you don't have to give your email address. All you have to do is put in the meeting ID and password.
He did that. But they asked him for his email.
Right.
That's what we talked about this morning, about people asking for your email. If you recall,
no, we'll that's
talk about
different.
That quite a bit.
Different, yeah.
But you don't need an account to join. But you can, if you have an account, you can put a pretty picture up and do all kinds of tricky things. Mm-hmm. But he's on the route of getting an account set up if he wants that.
Yeah.
So well, what's he doing?
He didn't know what to do. So, and I didn't know what to tell him.
Okay.
It might have been trying to download an update for Zoom.
It did what?
I know if Zoom has a lot of updates. It might be downloading a new update or a patch for it.
He just downloaded the Zoom app today.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I talked to him earlier. I sent him the information. Anyway, I'll tell you what. Can y'all carry on? Let me give him a call. I get him on here. It's the first time he really wants to get on. He's a new UBMer, and he's been reading David's books, and I'd like for him to come on in. So I'm going to give him a call. If y'all can just take it on and go to pray and do whatever.
Yeah.
Is that okay? We'll do that?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yes.
Okay. I wasn't talking to you, Judy. I was talking to everybody else. No. Okay.
Make sure you mute yourself, Michael, so we can talk about you.
Okay. All right.
Otherwise, we'll hear you talking to him. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Just pick on Michael now while he's busy.
You should read the vaccine. God's vaccine.
Okay, who else got a prayer request?
What do you got to say, Dave?
I was just recently just starting to go over the two witnesses, so I was going through that a little bit. It's just starting. Want to get more of an idea on that again. We went to the funeral, my mother-in-law's funeral Friday. And on the way there, we hit this really seriously big pothole, kind of. And I was like, wow, we hit it hard, you know. And I was thinking, boy, I hope the tire doesn't go flat. And it did. Nothing that happened. But we got the funeral home, and everybody's kind of piling out, you know. We're kind of standing there because other people in the parking lot. We looked, and they said, well, what's that leaking on your car by the rear tire? A little puddle leaking, and I says, oh, probably just water. We must have had some water or something on the way in. So we went in and then came back out and, you know, follow the hearse to the funeral area, and then we had to sit there and wait because they had this social distancing thing at the cemetery, so you can only have one group at it at a time. So we're a little ahead of time, so we're waiting in line. We got this big, you know, about 7-8 cars at the most. I don't know how many cars. We're sitting there waiting to go in, and then they noticed this. My daughter got out, and she's talking to some other people. My wife says, "Hey, look at that puddle now again in the car." I said, "What? Really?" So I went and checked it out, and it was like oily. And I thought, "Oh no!" And I says, "It must be, a brake fluid or something. Maybe I broke a brake line." I said, "Geez, you know, I was like 2.5 hours from the house." And boy, I must have hit that thing hard. And I thinking to myself, my wife and two, saying, "Boy, I wish the Lord just heal this thing right now. I have to deal with it." So we had to move on. We got to another place, and it leaks some more, you know. And I thought, boy. So on the way home, before we got there, I stopped at a store and got some, good hefty size amount of another bottle of some brake fluid, and I topped off the reservoir in the engine for the brake fluid. And we got done eating, and we got heading home. Got all the way home, and I told my wife, "Well, we're gonna park this on the side of the grass. I don't want this in the driveway. It's gonna leak, and we'll get it fixed Monday." And because she called, it was Friday was the funeral, so we got home, and she called up the our normal guys we go to, and they said, "Yeah, they'll be open Monday. Come on, bring it in." So she brought it. We let it sit all weekend. She brought it in there Monday morning. And it's towards the end of the day, you know, we're waiting for them to call, figure out what was going on. And finally about 5:30, they call and says, "Well, we looked all over and we can't find the leak anywhere." I said, "What?" I said, "It was leaking puddles. And is it not leaking anymore?" I said, "Surely." "No, we can't find any leak. There's nothing leaking anywhere. It's not even wet." "Oh." "Okay, well, thank you, Lord." It's like, that was out of nowhere. I didn't expect to see that one. I wasn't even thinking, you know, the Lord was going to heal it, but he did, you know. So that's my testimony of just out of nowhere, you know, just thinking that, you know, the Lord, me and my wife at the same time, and he heals it. And so,
Dave, are you sure it was brake fluid or it could have been something else?
It was fluid. It was, you know, yeah, it wasn't water. It had that consistency of brake fluid.
Wow. So, that's awesome.
So there's nothing else I could think it would be. It was by the rear tire. So I thought maybe the brake line broke by there. So anyways, that's my story, what happened over Friday.
How about axle oil? Or gear fluid?
I don't huh. No, it's front wheel drive.
I know, but it's still this fluid. Well, you're right. If there's no.
Nah, it's the only thing you have fluid back there, so.
All right. You know, with our differential, there's fluid all the way across the axle.
Yeah, but the axle's all up front.
Yeah. Huh.
That's awesome, Dave. God, it's so cool. All you did think it. It'd be real nice if God would just heal it for me so I don't have to deal with it.
Deal with this thing. You know, I don't have to deal with it, you know.
Kind of like one of those just think it and it comes to pass. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, he put the brakes to it.
There you go. So where are we in the end times?
Who else has got a testimony?
Well, I'd like to pray that Michael gets Joe in here. His name is Pastor Joe Hotsettler, that he just, everything works out okay and that he can get in on the call tonight. Lord, I thank you for doing that and taking care of this and taking care of any problems. Mm-hmm. And we give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
I was just looking on my Twitter feed, and it said that researchers
at Bologna University, Italy, says the coronavirus is detected on air pollution particles. That was written in The Guardian and The Hill report. It may explain big breakouts in the urban polluted area. Huh. Very possible.
Tim, did you have something you wanted to say?
Kind of a confession. I was monkeying around with a generator today and converting it over to propane, something I've done several times before. Everything was going pretty good, but I was relying on myself, and I just, as I was finishing up, I go, you know, I didn't pray about this. I go, I probably should have, but I didn't. And I think everything went good. So I got it all together, opened up the propane and hit the start button and just clunk, 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 never fired. So I think I need to pray about my projects before I start them instead of after from now on. So I learned a lesson there. All between the Lord and I, we will figure out what's wrong with that thing and get it running. I was counting on myself and it didn't work out so well.
Anybody else? Well, everybody's got to have a testimony, right?
Okay, I'll give another one. My lawn tractor, the other day I went to start it, and it started right up because the first time I was going to cut my grass, I'd started a few times over the winter, left the battery in it for the first time this all winter. I thought, I'll just leave it in there. And so I started it once in a while, it'll be fine, let it run. Today, the other day I went to start it, and it started right up, and then it shut off. I thought, huh, what's that about? And then I went to start it again, and it won't even turn over. I thought, what's going on? So I knew the battery was probably still good, and I, you know, working all my, sitting up and down in the seat and moving the pedal for the brake clutch to make sure that maybe it was engaged and playing all around with a stupid thing, and I can't figure out what's wrong. And so, oh, wonderful, you know, nice day, I got to get this cut. So I got upstairs, got on YouTube, started looking through some ideas, and I stick into it, and they start going through all these different switches that could be bad because they got these things all safetied out now. They have to have everything condition met, and a way you can test the solenoids, went out there and tested that. And then it said I had a fuse. So I went and finally found the fuse. I seen the fuse was blown. I says, well, I don't feel like playing with this. I asked my wife, are you going to go to the store tomorrow? She says, yes. I says, can you get me one of these fuses? She said, yeah, I can do that. So that'd be fine. I left it. I had enough. And that was the other thing I've seen, the Lord, you know, I really don't want to be going through all these interlock switches to figure out what's wrong. I said, that's just like a little more time consuming than I want to deal with, you know, because it's not all that easy to get around inside the thing, look at everything. So she got the fuse for me, and I put the fuse in. I turned a switch and nothing. And I went and made sure the foot pedal was engaged, and it was, and it's still nothing. I thought, oh, man, I got to play with these switches. And I thought, well, maybe one more time. I'll just sit on the seat. You know, maybe, Lord, maybe he'll fix this thing for me. I don't deal with it. Sit on a seat, turn a switch, and then it took right off. Oh, thank you, Lord. Great, you know, and it just for the heck of it, just when I was mowing the lawn, it cut for out for a minute, came back on, and I thought, no, you're going to stay running. You are not going to shut off. So that's my story about my lawn tractor now. I don't know where it was, you know, just decided to quit running on me. So.
Hey, David, I hear your fearless governor there in Michigan has made it illegal to mow your lawn.
Oh, no, I broke infinite wisdom. I didn't know I broke the law.
Oh. Yep, you did. You're very fortunate that they didn't come around and arrest you, throw you in prison for the rest of your life.
Do they have Zoom in prison?
You know, I'm going to find out.
I got a question for y'all, for Joe. He says he's downloaded the app, and for some of y'all that remember, I can't remember, but he said he downloaded the app
And when he opened the app, some kind of support thing came up. So I don't understand that part of it. He didn't have what I had when I opened it up. It opened it up and it goes join meeting or something like that in there. But does anybody know what you do after you open up your brand new app?
I'd actually just have to see what the screen says, support thing. What's that mean? I'd have to see what he's looking at, you know.
Well, yeah, me too, but you can't. That's just it.
I don't know. It's been changing. They've been making so many changes because of all the security, all the visibility. I don't know. It's hard to know. I mean, because I think they're changing the app a lot. So I don't know what changes they've implemented.
Well, what I told him to do is to go back on the app website, make sure he's got the right app for the free conference calls, and download that, and then open it up and see if that doesn't change it. It sounded to me like he had some kind of a support app, and I don't know if he even make one, but anyway.
Remember, you gave us a security code, 652930.
It's not asking for
the first time.
He's not being asked that.
Okay.
He hadn't been asked that. It won't let him ask that. He's just, all he's doing is just trying to get on, and it won't allow him to do that. It's wanting him to talk to some kind of support guy. So.
Did he follow
you? I've already, Leon, if you saw your email, you saw all of that information is in there. The ID number and the password's in there, so you don't have to worry about that. He's got that in big, bright red letters. So he should have that. But as far as the other, I don't know. It's been a long time since I opened up a brand new Zoom app. But anyway. Lord, I just ask that you give him the wisdom to get on tonight so he'll know how to get on the next time. Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Can you just use the phone number to call in?
Didn't ask for a PIN number.
No, a phone number. Because you can join just by phone.
Oh.
Like Malcolm does.
Yeah.
Malcolm, you can got do the that PIN number
without the app, right, Malcolm?
Oh, yeah, that's easy. Just dial the number and put the team, 212, all that. I shouldn't give it here, but the whole number.
Hey, Judy, call him back and tell him.
That's easy. And then when it says
Judy, can you hear me? Judy, can you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God forevermore. We finally have communication. Would you call Joe back and ask him to get up? Go ahead. Did you have something?
Hey. Michael, if you get Joe's email, you can send him a direct invitation to join the meeting, and all he has to do is click on the link, and if he doesn't have the correct app, it will take him to the website where he'll be
That's
able
what
to
he
join
did.
The meeting. Okay, so he does have a direct link.
No, yes, I sent him the invite that y'all got. Did everybody got
no,
today?
No, no, no. So that's, there's a
Oh,
way.
You're talking about from here.
Yes, there is a way you can send him a web link that all he has to do is click on it, and it brings him directly to this meeting. If you go into the meeting up on top where it says zoom.us and then meeting.
Where it says what?
If you go to the very top of your screen.
Yeah.
And there's the Zoom US dropdown, and then there's the meeting dropdown. Do you see that?
Yeah, I see the
okay, so if you drop down to the second to the last option, it says invite.
Oh, no, not on mine.
You're on a Mac, right?
I'm sorry?
You're on a Mac?
Yes.
hit Command I on your keyboard.
Got these computer experts. All right, I did.
Did it bring up an invite option?
It says copy invitation. Oh yeah, it's got an invite over here, but it's not available for whatever reason.
What?
Yeah. I got copy URL, copy invitation, and an invite to the far right side, but the far right side invite is not available.
If you copy the, you hit the copy URL and insert it into an email, copy URL is going to copy the link to this meeting, and you can send it to Joe, and all he has to do is click on it, and it should take him directly here.
I knew we'd find somebody with some good old sense.
Guess he does. Right, the young ones, you know.
Now, what's he to do? Just click on it?
He should be able to do that, yeah.
Okay.
Michael?
Yeah, Malcolm?
Yeah, also, I mean, if he wants to get on the phone and nothing else seems to work for him, that's very easy. Just dial the one of the numbers that are listed in that invite email that he got originally. Just a whole bunch of numbers listed, and then just put in the team ID. That's it.
He wants to get in on the PC.
Well, a lot of times people just use the phone first until they can get the PC part figured out. And some people like to talk on the phone at the same time. You can tie it together, you know.
Okay.
If that's what I do. So what I do is If I'm usually already on the phone, but if I happen to be able to stop by the computer, I'll crank up Zoom, get it going, and then when I do that, it says, "Do you want to connect your phone to your Zoom?" And so then I put the code in on the phone, and then it ties it together. So just to all you guys, it shows like one thing instead of two things.
Okay. Well, Judy, you want to call him and tell him to click on that link while I'm doing this here? Thank you.
You have Michael, you have the phone number, one of the phone numbers you can call in, right? I could tell you what it is here.
Do what?
Do you have a phone number if he wants to resort to that? It's in the email, but I've got one here you could use.
I don't think he wants to. He wants to get the PC on. He's going to support. I think that's what I thought too. What Lana was talking about was I think he downloaded the wrong app. Yeah. He should have downloaded another app. And anyway, I sent him the invites or the invite URL.
Michael, there's a good chance he got the wrong app, because if it's popping up with a support and requiring him to talk to somebody, it's more than likely some sort of spam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on my Google Play Store, and it shows like 10 different guides to Zoom this, Zoom that. So there's no telling what he got on.
Should be Zoom US is what he should be looking for.
Okay. All right, well, he'll come on just a minute, in Jesus' name. All right, let's get back to the business at hand. What is the business at hand? What y'all been talking? I know you've been talking about Jesus instead of lawnmower. I know you've been talking about Jesus.
Dave was sharing his testimony how God healed his car.
Awesome.
And his lawnmower. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounded like a rocket. Okay. All right. Amen.
And that they told me I broke the law and I'll probably go to jail because I cut my grass.
I know. It's a sad thing, man. We'll send you letters.
Julie's got that hat on again. No, come on.
Amen. Okay, let's do this. Let's go to God's vaccine. What do you think? You want to go to God's vaccine? I do. Hey, Joe Britt, how you doing, brother?
Being blessed.
Amen. Okay, we're on page 105. Page 105 in the big book, God's Vaccine. I was talking to Joe this afternoon. He's all excited about this book, God's Vaccine. He's in chapter 4. I don't even know what chapter we're in, but he's a preacher, been a preacher for many years. Okay. I think we're in the last paragraph here. Where's Andrew? Is Andrew here? Yeah, there he is. And we're missing George. Okay. Bless him, Lord. Okay. Is he going to try that, Judy?
He tried it and he said it just went around and around and around, you know, like something's trying to connect and nothing happens.
The link that I just sent him in the email?
Mm-hmm. He clicked on it. It just went round and round and round and round.
Okay, he might have not enough bandwidth to get on. I don't know. All right. Page 105, God's Vaccine. In the midst of the fire trial, when you're threatened by the curses.
Michael, can I interrupt you a second? Maybe that going around was you having to let him in.
I didn't get the thing down here. It tells me when somebody's in the waiting room.
Okay, because that's what it looked, that what came to my mind, because that's what it looks like you have to let him in.
Yeah, it shows me out here on the front page when somebody's sitting out there waiting to get in, and I can admit them, you see. So it's not a big deal. Yeah, it kind of flags out where I can see it.
Michael, not to change, I wonder if he needs to reset his, you know, power off his computer and power it back on, because
probably.
We had, actually, with my sister-in-law, we were doing some Zoom this week, a Zoom meeting with the family type of thing. And they had the same problem. And they kind of worked through it. And I don't know exactly what they found out the solution was. I never had the problem because obviously I was on prior. You know, I've had Zoom on my computer for quite a while. But I suspect they're doing something as far as, you know, security, like everybody's saying, they're messing with the security or changing something in the process. Because I couldn't talk them through it either. They finally worked through it, though.
Yeah, I should have gotten on with him this afternoon and tried to work it out with him, but I had other things going on, so.
Well, he's got a friend that is an expert on computers, and he's going to get him to come over and help him.
Okay, all right, that's good. Well, we'll be here for a little while anyway. All right, here we go. In the midst of the fire trial, when you are threatened by the curses and plagues of the world, will you confess him then? That's the whole point. Will you confess? Let me mute you, Missy. Will you confess that you are hidden? No, I'm sorry. Will you confess that Psalms 91 is yours? Will you confess that you are hidden in the sacred place of the Most High? Your confession in the trial is the only way that salvation can be made complete, because faith without works is dead. James 2 and 17. Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. You can say that you believe, but during the trial that comes to see if you believe, your actions need to match your words. You need to be walking your talk. because that's what's going to protect you from the curse of this world. God will supernaturally send forth his protection for you if, there's a big F, circle that, you will confess him in the midst of the trial. Psalms 91:11, for he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. How many of you know you got an angel sitting around there beside you waiting on you to tell him what to do? You do. When the plague is all around, you can say, 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. Can you say that because you know that you are seeking after God and your heart is not condemning you? Can you confess, it shall not come nigh me, because you believe it? You need to know that you can do that now. In the trials you are in now, cast down fear and doubt. And Hebrews 10:23 says, hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. That's pretty straightforward. That's pretty easy to understand. We have to walk out our faith. We can believe it here, but we have to walk it out. And how do we do that? We do it with our mouth. We do it with our feet. We do it. What would you do if you believed what you've already prayed has already happened? How would you act? That's what he wants us to do. Call those things that are not as though they were. And Hebrews 10:23 again, hold fast the confession of hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. God is faithful. All you got to do is trust God. That's all we have to do. That's what he wants us to do, is trust him and believe that he's the one that's doing it. It ain't nothing we can do except believe and act on that belief system. And he's already given you the faith to do it. Let's go on here. I'm getting excited here. Glory to God. Hebrews 2:14. Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that is, the same flesh and blood, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. By his death, Jesus brought to nothing the power of the devil. This is to deliver us from all fear, even though the overwhelming majority of Christianity does not believe this. They don't care what the Bible said. They don't believe that Jesus died in order to actually deliver us from any kind of fear, including the fear of death. And if your conscience is clear, you can have bold faith in God, and you can believe his promises. Make sure that you're in right standing with the Lord, that you've confessed, repented of, and forsaken your sin. And true repentance means you've had a change of mind, and you are no longer going to run after those things. You're no longer going to live in the lust of your flesh, but are going to serve God. True repentance means with the heart you are believing in his promises, believing that you are delivered from these sins and from these curses. And true repentance means that with the mouth, you're going to confess it. That is where we get tripped up 90% of the time, is how we confess where we are in Christ. Well, I prayed. Somebody prayed for me last week, and I still ain't got healed. I still haven't been delivered. I'm still having this same problem. That's doubt and unbelief. You're not enduring in your faith to the end. End of what? End of your trial. That's what he wants us to do. Anybody got any comments on anything we've read so far? This is good stuff, folks. Yeah, Missy.
Okay, I'm going to put myself out here.
All right.
And you're all going to say, well, duh. But just in case this might help someone. Oh, gosh, I probably should look at my text so I can remember exactly how I said it. But I was reading in the Real Good News. I was reading the next to last chapter, call it God's Disclaimer. And he says it's God's disclaimer and ours. But you know, it's like I knew this, but I don't know how to explain it. It was like a real light bulb went on or whatever, just from reading that chapter. And it has to do with what we're talking about here. Holding fast the confession of your hope that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. Okay, all the promises of God are yes and amen. All the promises, the Lord has done everything for us. He's healed us, he's delivered us, provided for us. Protection, we have complete salvation and everything. Well, it's ours. No matter what we see, feel, or hear, you know, it was ours 2,000 years ago. And if you really want to be technical, I've said this before, even before the foundation of the world, because if we were crucified and raised with Christ, if he was crucified before the foundation of the world, so we were we. So it's ours. Okay. So fighting the good fight is, okay, knowing it's yours, no matter what you see, it's yours. It is yours. And the reason you have to fight is because the enemy is trying to take something away from you that is yours already. If you know it's yours, you're going to fight and not let him take it from you. That's what the Lord showed me. It's mine. All my body is healed completely from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. And I just keep confessing that it's mine no matter what the enemy throws my way. I fight with the sword and cast down every reasoning and imagination results itself against the knowledge of God. You know, if the enemy tries to shoot doubt and unbelief into your mind, says these things, you cast it down. Say no. The word says this, just like Jesus said when he was tempted for 40 days. But it's ours. We just have to fight to keep it, because if we start agreeing with the enemy, he's going to steal it from us, and we're not going to see that manifestation of that healing. It's ours. Because with God, there's no time. It's ours. And it's just, it's a trial of our faith. It's a trial of our faith. Are we going to walk by faith and not by sight? Or are we going to walk by, oh, I'm feeling this and I'm feeling that, you know, or, you know, I'm seeing this or I'm seeing that. You know, it doesn't matter. It's yours. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it. But anyway, I just wanted to share that.
It's okay, just well, you're God. Exactly right. You're exactly right. Jeff says, being a warrior, that's right. Judy says, amen, that's right, amen.
Because yeah. I see that in Sandy a lot. It's like what she goes through, like today, she came home, she was just, you know, after dialysis, just flat, you know, she was crying and stuff, and she's just like, what am I doing? You know, this is, you know, what she's going through, and then she just comes back, and, you know, she just, hey, you know, I rebuke that, you know, from what the nurses tell her and stuff, and the warrior comes out, and then she goes to sleep.
Amen. Amen. So now you can also confess that your God will protect you because the curse of death is upon sinners. But you, us, have forsaken our sins and come to God and trust in him, even if you're not perfect. That's what the blood covering's all about, Hebrews 2 and 14. Since then, the children are sharers in flesh and blood. He also himself, in like manner, partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What puts people in bondage is the fear of death. That fear forces them to do things that are totally contrary to faith in God. They're in bondage to those things because they fear death. Yet the Lord came to deliver us from the fear of death. We are free from the fear of death because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen. Anybody got any comments on that? Go ahead, Missy.
The verse that comes to me, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Yep.
Where there's sin brought in death.
Amen.
Plain and simple. Yep. I was thinking about that. I think I was thinking about that today and or yesterday about John G. Lake and everything, and really thinking about what he said, and it was just like it really got in me even more, you know. I mean, sometimes you if you don't really meditate and think on these things, you just don't fully get the understanding of it. You don't get the revelation of it.
You don't get it in your spirit. That's right. Where it needs to be. When you get all this stuff in your spirit, you're going to be fearless. We all are going to just be fearless. Nothing will stop us. Coronavirus, give me a break. What is that? Ebola, what is Ebola? That's the devil. The devil is under our feet. Go ahead, Missy.
Speaking of which, of the coronavirus, someone today sent me something about a pet. A dog was the first animal found to have coronavirus. And I know this person isn't walking by faith or anything. And so I just like, I looked at that and I'm like, I ain't even going there. You know, I'm believing for Fudgy, you know, pray for her, you know, cause I'm aware of it, that the animals can get it, you know? And, you know, I just believe for her just the way I do for everybody else I'm praying for and for myself.
Amen.
My household and everything. So it was like, I was like, I'm just wondering if this person's going to ask me, did you see that? Did you look at that? And I'm like, anyway, Lord help me have the right response.
Well, the right response is, did you see that Psalms 91 thing I sent you? Did you see that God's vaccine thing I sent you? Come on now, you know. You
exactly.
Do that, but you better not.
I've said that before and it wasn't received well, so.
I know. Hebrews 3 and 4. Anybody else? Okay.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to say something. There's a principle that Jesus said when he sent out the 70 and the 12 disciples, and that is to wipe off the dust off your feet off of cities or individuals or houses. So we don't have to. If somebody doesn't accept it, you just move on to the next person.
Yeah.
Pray for him. I mean, you can still pray for him. Pray for him, of course, but wait till the door's open.
Yeah. Pray out loud, too. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm just kidding, y'all.
Oh, Hebrews, please help him.
Yeah. Yeah. Drop to your knees and start throwing snot everywhere, you know. Put it on, man. Put it on. Put up a big show. No, don't do that.
Oh, my Lord.
Hebrews 3 and 14. For we are become partakers of Christ. Amen. If we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. While it is said today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Do you hear his voice? Do your brethren tell you of his voice? Do they tell you of his promises, of the things that his word says? And are you humbling yourself to his word, or are you hardening your heart because you have ulterior motives and want to do your own thing? He's warning you here, Hebrews 3 and 16. For who, when they heard, did provoke? Nay, did not all they that came out of Egypt by Moses? And with whom was he displeased 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness. They were murmuring and complaining. Well, I don't guess God loves me because he didn't heal me yesterday when that preacher prayed for me. It's up to your faith. Enduring your faith to the end. They were murmuring and complaining. They were not speaking the word of God. They didn't believe his promise of their provision and of his protection. Numbers 14 and 2. And all the children of Israel murmured. Let's get these in here. Who is this? Hey, Gabe. All right, good to have you, brother. Let's see. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Well, God told Moses in Numbers 14 and 28, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, surely as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your dead body shall fall in this wilderness. So they died because they refused to believe his word. They didn't enter into his rest. Hebrews 3 and 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that were disobedient. The Greek word there is apatheo, which means I disobey, or literally, I refuse to be persuaded. And it comes from the word apatheia, which means willful unbelief. Willful unbelief. It's obvious that if you are unbelieving, you will be disobedient, because obedience comes from belief. When you believe, then God worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Praise God. Gabe, we're in God's Vaccine on page 108 if you want to follow along with us. Okay. All right, anybody got any comments on that paragraph? God always got riled up when there was murmuring and when there was unbelief and doubt. He always got mad about that. You're on fire, Theo. You and Lana both, you're both on fire. Praise God.
Amen. I thought I had it. There we go. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay, man. You're burning an old flesh off, wasn't you?
That's actually the sunset tonight. It's really beautiful.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Hebrews 3:19. Has anybody got any comments on that last paragraph? Is everybody getting what we're saying tonight? I'm sure you are. Yeah. Okay. Hebrews 3:19. We see that they were not able to enter in. Enter into what? They were unable to enter into the rest, which is ceasing from your own struggling and striving to be your own Savior, because of unbelief, or as we've seen, because of disobedience. Hebrews 4 and 1. Let us fear, therefore. This is about to tell us something that we should fear. Lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. Remember God's promises? Don't waste your time with the world. There's only a little time left for you to draw near to the Lord, for you to put the word of God in your heart, and for you to be bold in the faith. Start exercising your faith for things now. Start trusting God for things now. He's given promises that cover every one of your needs. Worry less and less about taking care of yourself, and worry more and more about walking by faith in him. If you want to fear anything, fear that you're leaving out even one of God's promises. They are your truth. They are the shelter of his wing. They are your shield and buckler, and they are what will protect you from the plagues that are coming upon this world. Amen to that. All right, anybody got any comments? Yeah, Pat.
I was thinking about that. Kind of on the overall, I was listening to David's message. I think it was Sunday night's message, talking about, and David was mentioning about his first days when he, the Lord brought him into a couple churches, the beginning, and the one church I think he was in a Pentecostal church, and he prayed to receive the Holy Spirit, or for God to give him the Holy Spirit for a year or something. Until I think he was talking about the prayer of faith and prayer of importunity or whatever, and was kind of developing that point. And until he came, I mean, he prayed the prayer of importunity for a year, basically, in seeking God, and then it dawned on him at the time he entered into faith that that the Holy Spirit had already been given. He simply needed to receive it, believe it, and receive. And I'm looking at this, especially in Hebrews 4:1, where it says, let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, some of us should fall short or whatever. And Paul was preaching to these Hebrews, the Hebrew church here, who I'm going to suspect that they were already had received the Holy Spirit and were all filled and speaking in tongues and the whole thing. They were full of the Spirit. They knew, but Paul was talking to them and warning them of this very thing of not entering into the rest. There is, I think it says someplace else in here, maybe it's in chapter 3, there is therefore a rest for the people of God, or maybe it's farther on in the chapter. And I was thinking about that and placing that in context with what Paul said in another scripture. I probably should have looked it up. But he said in another scripture, he referred to what is going to happen in the later days when those who believed his word would believe his word. You remember where that is, Michael? Does it make sense where I'm talking about? Or
2 Thessalonians 1:10.
Can you recite it?
Hang on, let me look it up here.
I'm sorry.
I got to get to the sword here. I use a computer, I got the right screen. Okay. 2 Thessalonians 1:10 says, to which end we also pray always that you have, hang on, maybe it's 1 Thessalonians. No, it's got a second, hang on, let me read that here. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. Oh yeah, here, I had the wrong chapter. When we shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day.
Can you read the verse before it for context?
Who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might? It's a Paul sentence. It starts about eight verses before that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's in verse 3.
The point being, I think, that he was pointing to a time in the future when the people of God are going to believe, really believe what they're going to lock on to what Paul was saying, what he was really saying and preaching in that day. And I think of, and I go back to, even as far back as Daniel, and in his dream of interpretation that he had for Nebuchadnezzar, and seeing that stone which was cut out of the mountain and rolled down the hill and struck the toes of that giant, the toes being that reference to the end days and the 10 continental divisions of the earth, or whatever it was.
Pat, let's get back on what the rest is. Okay, let's get into what we're the rest is. A lot of people don't understand what the rest is. Can you address that? What the rest is?
I believe that it's exactly what David says that it is, that mm-hmm. it is that resting in the absolute, the truth of that word, that particular mm-hmm. word, and wholeheartedly hanging on to that truth.
Yep.
And until it brings us through the battle of the soul and you receive the end of that. But I think...
Yeah, go ahead.
But I think the reason I brought it up in the context of the overall is that I believe that there is a connection with that rest and the perfectness, that there's going to be a connection with us as believers coming to a rest in the perfectness that Christ has given us, has brought us into.
That's what the rest is. Yeah, you're exactly right. The rest is believing what the word says, no matter what you see around you going on. It makes no difference what's going on. If you've prayed the prayer of faith for whatever circumstance it is, and now you know that God's going to perform whatever it is you prayed for, it didn't make any difference what's going on around you. There's fire going off and dynamite going off all around you or whatever, but it doesn't make a bit of difference what's going on around you, because you've already prayed that prayer of faith. You're standing in there. You're trusting God to bring you through that circumstance or whatever it is. Nothing else matters. You're hanging on to that. You know by faith that whatever that prayer you've prayed is coming to pass.
But the rest, and I believe that is an absolute foundational, fundamental element of it. But I guess where I'm stuck at, I don't know stuck, it's not clear, but resting is resting. Up until that point, let me just say what I'm thinking. Resting is being at rest, at peace, in with the absence of the battle. Is that correct?
No.
And of with the absence of the battle within. Not without. The temptation, the fire, the struggle is still there. But there's no battle. There's no temptation of battle. There's no battle within because you're at rest.
That's right. You're right there.
And that rest that I am seeing, and I'm going to say not experiencing, but seeing, is the rest in the midst of the battle, but there's no battle inside me. I'm at total rest. And that, I believe, represents or reveals the perfectness, the completeness of that place.
And that perfectness, that rest that you're talking about, keeps you out of trying to help God out. That's what it's all about. You can't help God do nothing. And you just stay in that rest that you're talking about. And you're right. You're rested on the inside. You're not in turmoil. Yeah, I got to help God. I got to do this. I got to do that. No, you ain't got to do nothing but believe. And that's what you're talking about, I believe, isn't it? Where you're rested inside.
That is true. That is what I'm praying for. Now, all I need is the prayer of faith and not the prayer of importunity.
Well, either one will get you to the same conclusion. Either one will get you to the same conclusion. The prayer of opportunity is praying until you get the faith to believe that what the Word of God says. The prayer of faith is just going ahead and believing it at the start. But the prayer of importunity is you pray until you get that faith, and then I know this is already done. God's already done it for me. Praise God. But the prayer of faith is one above that, which is, I believe that whatever I pray is going to happen no matter what. And the prayer of agreement is above that. It's when you got two or three people gathered together and praying and believers, things happen because there's power with other people when you pray.
Can I pray then?
Yes, sir, you can, because we've got a bunch of folks here to believe.
Would you, Lord, I thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your reality, your truth of the rest. Even as Paul prayed and taught the disciples there to fear in case we don't enter into this rest. And Lord, I just ask that you would open up my eyes, open up my understanding, open up and give me faith, increase my faith to rest the way you mean rest. Not the way I currently perceive it, but the way you meant it to be perceived. And I ask that you would do likewise with each and every one of us in the meeting tonight, that you would open up our heart, our eyes, allow us to perceive what you mean by rest, what you mean by the perfectness, the perfect, the sanctified, the perfect that the sanctified will enter into and reside in. So I thank you for that, Lord. I just ask that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit, fill us with this place of understanding and faith, and give us grace to rest in this place that you've provided us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for giving all of us great and bold faith. Remember when the Lord told the Israelites, he said, go into the promised land and take it. I've given it to you. And then they sent the 10 spies out there. Two of them came back with the good report. The rest of them came back, oh man, these guys are thick and weird. Ain't no way we can whoop this much. But they didn't understand that they didn't have to whip them. They didn't have to whip them at all. It was God that was going to do it. He did. Gideon, he did it, didn't he? They sent the praisers out there in front of them. For goodness sake, they sent the praisers. That's the way to fight a war right there. Don't send the men with the guns. Send the choir out there in front of them. They'll get it done because God's angels will take care of it. My, 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 my. Okay, anybody else? That's good, Pat. Thank you. That brought out a lot of stuff. Anybody else? Yeah, Judy put on there Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And 26:4. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord, even the Lord, is an everlasting rock. He ain't moving. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Judy. That's a good one. Amen. Okay. How many of you want to be in the rest at all times? Keep your mind stayed on Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Malcolm X has entered the waiting room for the meeting. Who is Malcolm X?
Don't laugh.
Is that you?
Imposter. He's an imposter.
Oh, here. That's me. That's one of us.
Well, no, I got a Malcolm X over in the waiting room. I'm going to let him in and see what he does.
I want to see everybody's pretty faces.
Oh, you're coming in on your
Yeah, computer? Like I said, I'm coming in on both, yeah.
Okay.
Now I'll tie it together.
Good thing you said that. I was fixing to flip you out of here.
That would have hurt. Okay, just a minute. I'm going to tie the phone together with... Just a minute. I'm going to beat myself.
I expect so. Okay. Well, Malcolm playing. Psalms. Andrew says Psalms 37:5. Okay. That's a good one, I guess. I don't have it. Yes, to go to it. Let's see here. Anybody else got any comments or any questions? Joe, didn't you have your hand up, or did you? Okay. All right. Hebrews 4:2. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. For we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works are finished. We just enter into the works of God, the works that he has already completed from the foundation of the world. From the beginning, what he spoke would come to pass, is coming to pass. Is what he spoke coming to pass with you? God's word will prevail. His word is our shield and buckler. It is our truth. It's our protection. But we need to mix faith with that word so that we will be the righteous vessels for whom God will overcome this world. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody got anything on that one? Would you like to comment or ask a question? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I like that word preach in that particular verse, because in 1 Corinthians it talks about the preachment being the weakness of God. foolishness of the preachment to save them that believe. And that's in Corinthians chapter 1. But it also says further down, and because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God, which is also the preachment, is stronger than men. So anything he preaches to you is stronger than you. You have to enter this rest through this preachment, which is the weakness of God, but it's stronger than men. What a man is saying then is, no, I'm stronger than this preachment. And it's not that way. The preachment is the weakness of God, but it's stronger than man. So there's a rest in that statement there. Anything he says is the weakness of God, but it's stronger than a man. That's it. Any word he gives to you is a weakness, but it's stronger than a man. So that's what we have to enter, that the rest of that understanding is, anything he's spoken to you, his weakest effort is stronger than you. He spoke it, and the way I see it, and it says here that the weakness of God is stronger than man. It's a portion of a verse even. So how is it that something that God preaches is weak, but it's stronger than us? If we accept that preachment of this verse here, then anything he says, this is a humbling verse for us. We have to make it and understand that this verse, that is the weakness of God, is giving us our strength, because it's stronger than any man. It's stronger than anything, actually, because if you take these two end verses, the foolishness of preachment to save them that believe. But he's also saying the weakness of this, of God, which is also referenced as the preachment, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So how is it that this foolishness of God, this is a term for his weakness, this foolishness, because God's not foolish, neither is his word foolish. He's not calling his preachment foolish. We don't think of it as being foolish. It's to save us. Every single preachment, every single thing that comes out of God's voice must be obeyed. He just mentioned this in these two verses here. Everything, you know, when they didn't do that in the wilderness, they didn't get it. God's word creates everything. It gave us life. And it's something he speaks to us, and we need to latch on to that completely. or how else will a man speak against this, as he puts it, in terms of weakness of God, and it's the preachment, which is anything that God says that we even repeat. Jesus repeated anything the Father said. He abided in the Father. We too are to abide in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ abides in us, and so does the Father come along with him. He has to see that his word is actually coming forth to pass. You don't mess with him when he speaks. And this is a feared reverence of God, yes, but it's also very humbling to us. It makes us feel as a child coming to him. If anyone has a child, how much they trust in their parent. But you're just practice dad for our Father. And that's there's something here when he says this that I don't think a lot of people are comprehending fully on this. Because this, any word that comes forth out of God's mouth is a weakness for us, because it's kind of like you have to listen to your Father, because his word is so mighty, so almighty. Hallowed be thy name. There's the name. That mind of God is so high and far beyond our comprehension that he has to speak it to us in kind of a weak state. But he just, you know, the amazing power of this word is supposed to ignite it. You know, it's like lightning going from one side of heaven to the other. He's seated in heavenly places. He casts this lightning from one end of heaven to the other end of heaven, and that's where you're seated. He's igniting you. He casts the lightning bolts. You know, if he was to come out all full force for us, I don't think we would be able to take it. So he's got to come to us at a weak state, because he's almighty. I just was perusing this in my head, and I'm going, what does it actually say there, you know? And then I'm going, well, there's two statements here, and they're the end of a verse. There's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 22, and then there's the 25th verse there too, the very end. I hope I'm reading that right. I'm depending on something without my glasses and the low lighting in here. So my understanding is this preachment has to be right. When the preacher says something that breaks the verse, okay, it's not take in the very same chapter where Jesus used the term break the scripture, okay, a little above that he was called a blasphemer to speak against. That's what they said about Jesus. But he was polite to them, and he said, you can't break the verse when it comes to being sons of God, a son of God. And that's what you are. So I think there's some really good, relevant statement in those verses. on the weakness of God, the foolishness of God, but it's, again, wiser than men and stronger than men. It's like you're saying, no, I can do this in my strength. And you can't do that. Why not just sit up on his lap and say, okay, Dad, let's get him. I mean, he's in you anyway. It says we. You know, if you love his word, the Father is going to love you, and he'll come, and we will come unto you and make our abode with you. Look who's aboding with you. We, Jesus and the Father. And he's speaking that word to you, and it should be, if this word can visibly shake the heavens and the earth. So why not just go with it? You have to go with it. It's your very existence that he can speak out or speak in. It's, to me, it's amazing anyway. That's what I'm saying.
Amen, Andrew. That's good. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, when you were talking about the weakness of God, what came to my mind was Philippians 2, starting at verse 5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross.
That's wow.
The weakness of God.
Collate those two, man. Who is that likeness now? Who is that likeness now? Come on, guys, you know. Like, it's like, I don't know. I think my sword just got a little longer.
aren't we supposed to be Jesus in the flesh again? Right? Just like it's talking about here. We have to do the exact same thing that he did.
The name called the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Isn't he in there? Somewhere? he's just like such a roaring lion that he's going, come on, guys, what's going on here? You know, like, come on, we've got the hosts. Who is this that stands before the armies of God? You know, we speak in unity. We speak in a chorus for this to come to pass. And I don't know. I'm just excited.
It's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Go ahead, Pat.
No, I was just going to say that exactly what Missy said. It lined up exactly with what you were saying there, Andrew. Because I was looking at verse 23, who said, but we preach Christ crucified. And what I was thinking, and it says, unto the Jews, a stumbling block, or unto the religious, a stumbling block, and unto the unbelievers, foolishness. But unto them that are called, and that's us. And where are we? But when he's saying, but we preach Christ crucified, and we know through Romans that we have been crucified in Christ. Again, another one of those things done before the foundation of the world. We weren't there to give our consent or lack of it. It was done. And so I tie that in with that place of weakness, that it's already been done, that we were crucified with Christ, already been done. I have nothing that I can add to the equation, so to speak. There's nothing I can add because it's already been done. The only thing that one could add would be to simply rest in that fact, which appears to the religious and to the unbelievers as foolishness, but it is in fact, as Andrew was saying, the power of God, stronger.
Not me. This preachment that's coming out of your mouth, but I give glory to God for it. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to do the last verse of Galatians chapter 1 on that. I'm not pointing in any direction, but you know, if there is an equality here between us all, no matter how mature or how small, then it's the glorification of God here. And that you're saying that. I'm not taking any of God's glory away. If this statement that you said, that Andrew said, but I'm just saying, no, it's not Andrew that said it. It's still the preachment, even though you said it. But that also verifies something to me. It's just like the day said to me, you're not one of them born-agains, are you? And it came out of a person's mouth that didn't know the Lord. I went, hey, that's a verification for me. But for you and me, it's the same, because we are one body. So it's as Pat said, too. But you have to give glory to God for it also.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Because you're my brother, and we're one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord. And as I was at a bus stop once, and someone asking me, where were you baptized? And I told him, in water. And he smiled at me like I was an idiot. And he said, what denomination do you go to? And then I made him even more confused. And I said, what's a denomination? Because it's one faith, one baptism, one God, and there you have it, over all, through all, and in all, which is the abode that I quoted, which is preachment. And it's stronger than me. Do we enter into this rest or not? You know, in as for the importunity, it's somewhere mentioned after he's talking a parable about a bad judge there in Luke. I was just reading that today. He's talking about the unrighteous judge and the woman that constantly came to him. But what's the very last verse there? It speaks of the prayer of importunity. But the very, don't forget, this is before Jesus went to the cross and the resurrection. The very last verse in that sequence of verses is, when Jesus comes, shall he find faith? Come on, guys.
Yes. Yes.
It's from faith to faith. You know, it's that Almighty God giving us his faith. Have God's faith. We were all over this. You know, he had to kill a a fig tree. He said, I have God's faith. And then there's those two famous verses that we all love. Anything you believe and ask for, anything you ask believing, you know, it's the 11th, the 23rd, and the 24th verse after that in Luke. So this is strong stuff. Now you can see the conclusion of your pilgrimage. I've been watching that pilgrim thing so long, you know. You knew you had a burden on your back. The other people didn't. This man who wrote this in 1700, when we were all British subjects, he wrote something where you had to escape that city of destruction and to run from the wrath to come. But we're coming to a point where we know we're going to know when that wrath comes. What are you going to do? Go back? Be pliable about it? Or Mr. Turnback? You can't. Because if you do, look what's going to happen. You're going to go into that eighth year. Why? But some of us will. They'll see the beginnings of the wrath to come. That's a great crown for them, but so is a martyred one. There's only two ways there. And it's all preachment. So we better look at this preachment verse here, these verses about preachment, and how God speaks to each and every one of us. And that's why I like to walk in the light, because he is in the light, because we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses from all our sins. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. There you go, man. And again, you know, it's that P word again, preachment. Word of our testimony. And we didn't love our lives unto death. What is he expecting from you? Do you think he's going to be mean when he does this? When it all unfolds? You know it's going to unfold. You've heard the stories of people who go to heaven. I'm looking to step into that river and forgetting about all this other stuff I'm not supposed to remember now either. Yeah, it's going to be a time. Wow. I'm just really saddened that there are people out there that are not understanding the extent of God's preachment here, his word. We handle this word so. But he's telling us to be bold anyway, isn't he? Well, I feel a little awkward when I talk about this. It's God's word that he's allowing us to speak forth to. And I feel like I'm in my dream I had a long time ago, and the lion came up and hugged me, you know. And he's putting his, it's a lion, you know. And he was pretty big, you know, and I'm looking in the mirror and seeing this happen, you know, because I was in a bathroom standing in front of the sink there, and he's on my shoulders, and I'm going, okay. And it wasn't like he put his weight on me either. It was all on his hind legs, you know, nibbling at my body up here. And I'm going, okay. I was looking through the door there, and I was going, if I close this door, it's not going to be any problem for him to knock it down. He's almost like a level at me, and he's on all fours, and I'm 6'4". So I just let the door open. He didn't touch the baby that was there. He must be a friendly lion, you know. It almost made me go back to that movie there about what was it? C.S. Lewis and the kids watch now.
Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah. There's some good stuff there. You know, they're giving you all these different animals that have a behavior attached to them, and some of them were not that good. They were evil, but there's a series of them there, and suddenly some of them that were the enemies started helping. You know. Well,
gotta unmute myself. When you gonna get excited about Jesus, Andrew? Come on now. Praise God, that was good, brother.
I don't think the excitement ever leaves us. I don't know. I think we're on idol sometimes. I can't describe what it is, but you know, you're there on idol, you know. And yeah. To tell you the truth, I had a rotten day today.
Oh, really?
I was up all night. I went to bed 5 in the morning. Woke up at 10. So.
Oh, you got 5 hours of sleep. That's good.
Yeah. No, I'm not tired. Yeah. You know, it's this battle of tiredness. I know what it is now.
Amen.
I'm going to need some of that weakness. Send him running, you know, and especially that verse we were given there in Isaiah the last time we were here in the meeting there. He didn't look too big there, anyway. Isaiah, oh boy. Isaiah 14, 9 to 10, and to 16. Someone mentioned that. Didn't look like he was anything that big. And who do you have in you but the Almighty God with Jesus Christ? I love that two-letter word in that verse, we. We will come and make our abode with you. And
thank you, Lord.
Every word is his preachment that we need to love. And it's we're only accountable for what he gives us. But together, we're a unity. We need, oh Lord, who is this that stands before the armies of God and all the hosts of heaven? There's even verses that says that he stands at the door and knocks. That psalm there, he's gonna, you know, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be he lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And let the King of glory come in. Who is this yes, King of Lord. Glory? The Lord of hosts.
Amen.
You know, he is the King of glory. He's mighty in battle.
Them dancing words.
They're saying that, and they're going, hey, there's our salvation message in an Old Testament song.
Yep.
And it has the first verse there speaks of his sovereignty.
Andrew, don't shut your mic off. Go ahead and discuss this with the prayer. That's okay, brother.
Now you're
That's
making okay. me sad.
No. Well, pray that we all get into that rest.
Almighty Father, my Lord Jesus Christ, you who are present with us in that two-letter word, we have your rest. We trust in you.
Yes.
I'm counting it as done. You loved us. I'm not shunning your love away from me, because your love abides with us. You've given us your love. As it even says in John 3:16, you've given us your love. This is your obedience that you're giving us. Praise and glory to God. We have your rest. The enemy shivers and shakes before us. Praise and glory to God. We are in unity with this. We are in unity with the Lord God Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ. He has dressed us with our armor and expects us to serve in unity, victory, already done. In rest we are with our Lord, and trust in him to do his works and mighty works through us, as was with our big brother Jesus Christ. Glory to God, and amen and hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for putting us all into that rest. We don't have to do any work but just believe. Thank you, Father. Good night, everybody. God bless you. Let me get everybody unmuted here.
Good night, everyone. Andrew, that was great.
Good night.
Good night.